Mediocrity Podcast. Talks about that nerdy stuff. Movies, comics, and video games. It's all good and there ain't no fluff. Brian Kluger is hosting the show. Jeremy Miggert's got jokes. Jonathan Atterbury sounds really handsome, and we all sure love you folks.
And welcome to Mediocrity Podcast, where the show is just slightly okay. Mediocrity Podcast, where we can learn about all of your favorite sci-fi movie, horror, video game things that you find cool and geeky and fun. I'm Brian Kluger, and I'm joined by these two incredible people who just happened to be walking along the road one day. I came by them. We played Red Rover. Let Jeremy Maggart and Jonathan Atterbury come over. How are you doing, guys?
that was the most ridiculous intro ever.
That might be the weirdest yet least gross offensive yet intro yet.
So the weirdest yet
didn't say
not
anything
gross.
Disgusting in there.
Yeah.
Do I usually?
Sometimes.
It'd take a poll on our Twitter.
they were much more graphic in the early days of the show.
Okay.
Well, I'm great, man. I'm fantastic. Yeah.
Great, fantastic.
Glad to be here talking to you, gentlemen.
Everybody's doing well?
Yeah.
Good deal. We've got a lot to talk about today, but before we get to that, let's tell you where you can find us. We're on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. You can type in Boomstick Comics. You can type in Multimedia Men. You can type in Mediocrity. You can type in any of our names, and we'll come up on iTunes and Stitcher Radio, and just subscribe. Hit that subscribe button. Click us 5 stars. Give us a review. We will eternally be thankful for the rest of time. Because we love you. But we have a lot to get to today. We're going to talk about movies, video games, a bunch of cool stuff, and a couple of our cool segments, which involve stuff that makes us cry in Star Wars, probably two in the same. But first, let's talk about this little bit of news. A week or two ago on the podcast, we talked about We basically pitched our theme park ideas, what we wanted to see at a theme park. Well, Disney and Marvel have announced new theme parks at their resorts in the Marvel Universe. So I'm excited. So I guess since that Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout was such a huge attraction and hit, and I believe our Jeremy Maggart actually got to ride that, didn't you?
Yes, I did, and it was great. But let me back up to where you just referred to me as our lover. that was weird, I'm not going to lie.
Well, you said that it wasn't – you just told me that it wasn't sexually charged at the beginning, so I have to make up for this.
I didn't say sexually charged. That's just what you heard.
Is he our lover, John?
I don't know about our.
But yours?
I don't remember you guys doing anything. I'm the one that lived with him for 2 years.
Oh, yes. Yes. So back to the theme park.
But yes, that ride is fucking awesome.
It took over something, right?
It took over the Tower of Terror.
Okay.
It used to be Twilight Zone, and now it's Guardians of the Galaxy.
All right. So I guess Marvel and Disney are really going for it here. So I guess at the Disneyland Resort in Anaheim, they're going to be bringing in a very immersive Spider-Man and the Avengers Park, which is going to be taking over a Bugs Land or a Bugs Life area. But it's going to be coming in 2020, so supposedly it's going to be a completely immersive universe with Spider-Man as the
main thing. and that is in the California Adventure specifically.
So I'm curious on what to do with that, what they're going to do with that. And also, I guess, in Hong Kong, Disneyland Hong Kong, they're going to do a big Ant-Man and Wasp theme park, which is very interesting. I feel like that's like the B level.
A whole theme park or just a ride?
A new themed area with this that centers on Ant-Man and the Wasp.
So it's going to be a Bug's Life, but specifically just throw in some Ant-Man and Wasp stuff.
So I guess they could combine.
It's going to keep the same park where it looks like blades of grass are really tall.
I guess so. I guess so. And then I guess in Disneyland Paris, there's going to be a big Iron Man and Avengers one as well. So it just kind of, I guess Marvel and Disney, they're just doing a whole big Marvel thing with most of their theme parks. And just, I guess if Jeremy says it was just super awesome Guardians of the Galaxy, I just guess that. I mean, all of these sound cool. I guess Spider-Man just sounds like the coolest thing they could do. I wonder if there's going to be like a zip line web thing or something. I don't know.
I don't see a zip line happening at Disneyland.
I don't see that either.
Why not?
Because they're not big on the liability thing.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. But to wrap,
they're just going to strap people to bungee cords and just fling them from one side of the park to the other and let them bounce around.
They do it at resorts all the time.
Smack it into the buildings.
They do it at resorts all the time. I don't know. I just feel like, I don't know. It's a lot. It's a lot.
Well, it's like those resorts that don't care if you die. You know what I mean? Like those mobster Las Vegas places where they're like, if you die, fuck it. We've got lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
Disneyland doesn't want their reputation tarnished by a bloodstain on the side of the Tower of Terror.
I'm honestly surprised they waited this long to build these.
Really?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's not like they haven't been making an ass load of money with all those movies anyway. I'm surprised that they didn't already have this going.
Okay. Yeah, it took them such a long time to get anything more than like that that area where they had the Marvel stuff so long ago, where you could go meet Captain America and Iron Man, stuff like that in the Imagineering building.
And now they have like a Star Wars launch bay that's in Tomorrowland, and there was like a little bit where it was a kind of a Marvel building where they had like Iron Man suits and shit like that and some various stuff. But now it's all Star Wars theme.
Well, I guess.
But it's awesome. I think bringing on, I think that I've been saying for a long time that Bug's Life area of Disney California is the most tremendous waste of space.
Well, they're changing that, and they're changing the pier as well, too.
Yep. And honestly,
that's going to Pixar.
I think they need to wipe out 90% of the Cars life or the Cars area as well. Really, if you just had the ride and maybe one restaurant, that would be fine for Cars Land. You don't need a whole land for just that movie.
Considering not, it's like the least liked Pixar movie.
Well, I mean, I think having a whole land for any of the Disney movies that are not Marvel or Star Wars just doesn't, you know, the most movies don't have enough material to give you an entire land's worth of things to do.
Well, I think the reason, though, that they do that with Cars, I think, is because every time I've been there, the single longest wait for a Fast Pass even typically is the Cars Land ride. So part of me just assumed that they're just giving people like stuff to eat and shops to go in and shit like that.
But they could build other rides in that same area and help spread out the craziness of that ride.
Well, they've got the Mater ride.
That ride sucks.
I haven't been on it.
It's great for kids. You know what I mean? Like if you're five, it's fucking awesome, I'm sure.
Well. I haven't been to Disney World or Disneyland literally since the 80s, so I have no idea what it's like now, but it sounds like it's way better.
So bad for you.
I know.
Yeah.
You both go regularly, right?
Yeah, up until this year, I had a season pass last year, so I've gone, and I had a season pass many years in the past when I lived closer, so I love it.
I go once a year. I'll be going later this year.
Sweet. Well, you'll have to keep us posted on this Spider-Man experience for sure. And if you ever make it to Hong Kong or Paris, check those out as well. But
I don't know if I'm going to Disneyland, if I'm going to either of those cities.
Oh, you never know. Let's move on. I think we've talked about this before, and a lot of you might have seen a trailer for this already. But it looks like they are actually making a sequel series to The Karate Kid. I believe we've talked about this before. The series is called Cobra Kai, and there is a big trailer out for it right now. And it takes place 34 years after the events of the first film. And this will definitely feature Ralph Macchio as Daniel LaRusso and William Spaca, the arch nemesis of the Cobra Kai. And it features them 34 years later, where Ralph Macchio is slashing or karate chopping prices at his car dealerships when his old rival, Johnny, is kind of like a drunk. But after kind of like something happens to him, he starts his own dojo, Cobra Kai. So it is going to premiere at an upcoming big film festival coming up. Are you guys excited for this? Do you think we need another Karate Kid movie?
No.
No.
I could not be less excited. I hadn't agree. Watched any of it, and I did not know the plot until you were telling it to us now, and I had to suppress laughter so you could finish.
It sounds like an actual shit show. We don't need any more Karate Kid stuff. We definitely don't need middle-aged Karate Kid working at the car dealership.
At what point is it just Karate Man?
Yeah, I have no idea. I have no idea what to think about this. I do not know, but it's definitely happening.
It's going to be awful. I think we all can safely assume that this is going to be really bad.
The series will debut at the Tribeca Film Festival in April of this year. But, yeah, you can watch the trailers. And when you watch the trailers, you know, I actually have watched the first, I think just one and two, but maybe I've watched three Karate Kid movies recently. And they're actually pretty good. They definitely hold up. And
the first one's great. I love the first one.
Yeah.
I like the second one, too. The fighting in there is still pretty raw in a good way. Like, it doesn't seem like overly choreographed. But here we are, and I guess it's going to focus on kind of like, you know, modern day bullies or like a guy who was once like a bad guy like Johnny, focusing on like how he's coming to terms with the new dojo and stuff like that.
But so, do we know if he's going to be a good guy now or if he's still going to be the bad guy?
You know, from the trailers, you just don't know. But it looks like, you know, he's kind of an asshole. But then after his thing, he starts the Cobra Kai back up. And it looks like, you know, some of the same traits that he was taught, you know, no mercy, you know, sort of show up. But so in the trailer,
we have a Rise of Cobra movie. That's what you're telling me?
Yes.
Cool.
In the trailer, you will definitely laugh because in the trailer it does show one of those fake fun car dealership commercials with Daniel LaRusso actually karate chopping the prices on screen. And you just got to laugh at that. But I'm in for this. Like, I'm a big fan of the movies and they got the real people back. You know, of course, you can't get Mr. Miyagi back because he's passed away. But I don't know. I'm excited for this. I'm okay with this. And I guess so since the only way you're going to be able to watch this, I guess this is solely going to be on the YouTube Red format. So if you subscribe to YouTube Red, you'll be able to watch this. But they are going to debut it at Tribeca. I don't know. So you guys really aren't interested in this at all?
No, I'll let you tell me how it is, buddy.
Yeah, you bastards.
Have fun. you're rowing that boat by yourself, Chief.
Oh, come on. Okay.
Yeah, I think pretty much anything that comes out on YouTube Red, I don't care about.
What? Really?
Yeah, I mean, tell me one good thing they've done.
I don't know anything they've done. It's like their first big thing, I feel like.
Well, I'm not going to care until they have a few good things under their belt.
Really? Okay.
I mean, like, first of all, most of these streaming subscription services put out mostly crappy stuff. Netflix is, and Amazon are really the only ones. And Amazon, honestly, they've only got a very small bit of shows that are worth watching, original content.
I watch stuff on Hulu, Amazon, and Netflix.
I was going to say, Hulu's got some really good stuff.
Yeah.
What does Hulu got?
They did Future Man. They did... what's that?
Handmaid's Tale, I think.
Yeah, Handmaid's Tale. That's really popular.
Is it good though?
Oh no, it's awesome. I've watched it. It's badass.
They've got Shut Eye, which is a really good one too.
Okay, well, I haven't watched the Hulu stuff, so I guess I can't say.
Oh, you make me laugh, sir. But no, they did the Marvel's Runaways.
That's right, they did Runaways. That was okay.
I don't know. There's tons of other stuff they're doing, but I like the original programming. Of course, we'd get it with HBO and Showtime and Stars and know everything else. Why not YouTube now? And Facebook does it now too. So, just a whole thing. But,
well, I feel like, I mean, I can't imagine that YouTube's going to come out with anything on the same level of, as like HBO original programming. It just doesn't seem like it's going to have the same budget.
Yeah, I mean, because it's not like YouTube isn't making it. It's just creators on YouTube with their own little channels.
Yeah, but YouTube makes money, tons of money.
Yeah, I know, but that doesn't mean YouTube is giving, you know, is giving somebody X.
I don't see Game of Thrones money being popping up on YouTube channels.
YouTube isn't giving anybody like X million dollars to go make a show.
Not yet, but with this, I bet they bought the rights to it and they were like, oh, okay. Let's we'll spend, you know, $20 million for it.
Spent all $200,000 on the rights for Karate Kid.
Yeah.
Ah, you guys. All right.
Picked it up out of the dirt and said, nobody else is using this. I guess I will.
All right. I will be let you know how it is, I guess.
This like file of like 80s shit that no one wants, and they're like, but the 80s are just so popular. There's got to be like, something in here somewhere.
Well, it's either Magnum P.I. reboot or Karate Kid. You guys choose.
Or Roseanne. That's coming out. The Roseanne reboot. Nobody.
Yeah, it is. Is it a it's a continuation. It's not a reboot.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I mean, I guess, it's a continuation, but like they rebooted the series, I guess, they're bringing it back. Not a straight remake, because I guess all the same people are there.
Well, it's not a remake or a reboot. It's literally just picking up where they like years later in the same story.
Yeah. I don't have high hopes for that either. Although I do want to see it just to see, like, maybe just the first episode. But, I don't know. Not for me.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. What are we going to do? Let's move on. There's not really a whole lot of movie news, not a whole lot of TV news really right at the moment. We're still waiting for renewals from like Ash vs. Evil Dead and Rick and Morty, which usually comes mid-March, but those two awesome shows have not yet been renewed yet for their new seasons. Hopefully we will get them. But let's move on to some video games. There's some
so much video game news to talk about.
Yes.
So much.
So, Sea of Thieves came out, which we've been talking about for weeks on here. And also, we've been talking about Call of Duty World War II on here. And our good friend, maybe lover, part-time lover, Stevie Wonder style.
I guess it depends what you mean by the word lover.
Yes.
He is someone that loves us, and we love him.
He finally got on Call of Duty World War II. But I think he only got on there for like a game or two. And we want to find out his thoughts and his gripes because we might share the same thing. We might not
share the same. But we're going to have to clear out the rest of the show. I don't think there's enough time.
Yeah, we're only 18 minutes into this. This could take up technically the next 40 minutes. But, Jeremy, you got Call of Duty World War II. You played it for a few hours. You didn't like it. You liked it. Tell us, please.
Well, you know, I did not enjoy it. It was not a good time for me. Do you want me to go into what I did not like about it?
No, yeah, of course.
What would you like me to talk about specifically?
Well, okay, so to set it up, like, you know, Jonathan and I have played Call of Duty for a while, you know, when it came out, and then we finally got back into it a few weeks ago.
Call of Duty World War II.
Correct, yes.
To be specific.
Yes, and we were having a really good time, and we were wanting you to get on it, and it was, I think it was kind of the same situation where I didn't get Star Wars for so long, and then I got it finally. We were just real excited for you, and actually, they surprised me with Jeremy getting on Call of Duty. Like, I had no idea it was happening, and it was just badass. It was so exciting. I think we played for a few hours. But then again, I guess he didn't like it. I would love to know, like, your thoughts, because we might share the same ones, like, what we want to improve. But I think we really like just having you on there and having part of, like, the whole laughing stuff that we do on there and having fun. I don't know. We laugh a lot on there.
I love the laughing stuff.
Yes.
The laughing stuff is the good stuff.
Yes. The laughing stuff. Yeah, the laughing stuff is definitely probably better than the game. You know, here's the deal. You know, the best way to sum up this game is in the way you guys describe it to me. You know, when John says, you know, I think the best thing about this game is that everything just works. It's just functional. You know, Brian would texted a bunch of stuff the other day. You're like, oh, I love Destiny, but this, and I loved Battlefront until they shit the bed, you know. And then when you look at your comment on Call of Duty, it's like, I just like it because you can get into matches easily and they're over quickly. No one is like, holy shit, you have to play this game because it's really fucking good. You know, like nobody
said that at some point.
I don't think you did.
I feel that way.
You guys were like, oh, we just have so much fun playing the game because we have a little group community thing, and that's just the best part about it.
And I said that it's super fun and rewarding to kill people in the game because they make it feel so fun, and I love the way the weapons feel.
Yeah, especially with the fire shotgun because they scream for like 10 minutes afterwards.
But I mean, like, it's good that you can hear them when they've, you know, blown up in the doorway when you're crouching by that staircase.
It is great.
You know, but like here's the thing. It's like, you know, all the stuff that we run into on all these other games, right? We've talked a lot about how disappointing Destiny ended up being. Mass Effect was. Battlefront 2 started out great, but then kind of went into the pooper. You know, to me, it's like everything in those games that I don't like, it runs rampant, the same thing in Call of Duty. Like, the auto-aim drives me a little crazy. And honestly, and it's just not specifically Call of Duty. To me, I feel like it's just a modern shooter thing where everything is loaded with auto-aim to where anybody, regardless of skill level, can pick it up and play it.
There's like, auto-aim in Call of Duty?
That's not true at all. It's the tiniest, like, most insignificant auto-aim, and you can turn it off. But really, it's so insignificant, I've turned it on and off, you can almost not notice. It's so tiny.
But there were times when, like, there's auto-aim on the grenades even.
Really?
I mean, there were people that were killing me with grenades, throwing them in the air on the other side of the level, and they were hitting me directly and exploding.
Yeah, that's not auto-aim. That's just random grenades. That's just, that happens to me.
The thing is that in Call of Duty, there are some – like, sometimes you'll get matched up against people that are so insanely good because they give, like, all of their free time to this game. And so it can seem like, oh, my God, these people – like, it's just easy – but the difference is, I mean, like, there's a reason why it's in, like, they have major league games for Call of Duty. It's a reason why some people are really, really good at it and some people are crap at it. It's not one of those games where, like, everyone's just equal because it's so easy. It's kind of the opposite. It's actually really fucking hard.
And so with Jeremy's comment about the grenades, that happens to me all the time. And when you see the replay, it's like the other team or the opponent knows exactly where you're going, and they just chunk it into the open, hoping that somebody's going to be there. And that happens to me a lot too. And it's like, where did this come from? Damn it! You know, it just happens. I hadn't noted an auto aim yet on it, but at least for the
shot. There's auto aim, but it's really really slight.
But did you not?
And you can turn it on and off.
But Jeremy, you didn't like just that aspect, or were there other aspects you did not enjoy as well?
You know, honestly, like, and this is not like me making jokes about it being an old game, but I mean, like, when I played it, it just feels like a 7-year-old shooter, which is really what it is. Because I mean, that's the whole thing. That's why their games are so popular, is because they make a lot of them, but they don't really change anything. So you can pick one up right away. You know, you guys could stop playing this game tomorrow. You know, let's say some other Call of Duty game comes out tomorrow, right? You guys could pick that up and immediately jump in, and there not be a learning curve because you guys are so used to Call of Duty. So nothing is really different.
Well, I think the Call of Duty franchise kind of like there's like in all of the Call of Duties, there's a certain feel for it, just like it's different from Halo. All the Halos have a certain feel to it, whereas Call of Duties all do. And I think if they changed it, I think there would be a bigger learning curve than there was, you know, from each game.
But my point is they're, and they've even come up, it's the same game engine and the same thing over and over again. And so for me, like, I don't really want to play, like, I don't see the point of buying a $60 video game, which, by the way, has a $50 season pass, when really it just plays like plays like a reskinned old, like, five, seven-year-old video game. Like, I just don't see a difference between that. And, like, to me, you know, and on top of that, like, these are technology products, you know. And to me, you may have had a ton of fun with like an iPhone 2, but you don't bust out your iPhone 2 and like throw a fancy screen on it and be like, oh man, I love this phone. I mean, that's what it is to me. I mean, like, because if you're going to play this, I mean, to me, Halo 3 is a superior game to Call of Duty World War II.
Wow. Well, I mean, they're, in a way, they're different. In the way, they're the same. I think both have their faults and their praises. I don't know.
If you want to say it's that Halo 3 is a superior game to Call of Duty World War II, if we go back to when Halo 3 was brand new compared to when Call of Duty is brand new, yes, I would agree with that. But would I rather play Call of Duty World War II now or play Halo 3 now? I'd rather play Call of Duty now.
See, I would rather play Halo 3 on the Master Chief Collection than play Call of Duty.
But different games, though. One's third. Well, no, they're both first person, right? Or are they third person?
They're both first person.
Okay. All right.
Did you play Halo 3?
Yes, it's just been a long time. It's been years. Okay, so there is a difference. I think Call of Duty is, like, at a faster pace, and Halo...
Well, yeah, they've all got their own feel. You know, there is a steep learning curve. Like, you know, you say you can pick up any Call of Duty game and be good at it, but we did play a good bit of Call of Duty Black Ops, and when I first started playing this game, I sucked. For, like, 2 weeks, I was sucked so bad at this game. And so it's definitely not something, you know, and I'm really well versed in first person shooters, but it felt so foreign to me compared to like how most of the games that I've played have felt.
I mean, but Black Ops was a while ago. So what I'm talking about is like if there was a Call of Duty tomorrow that came out and you guys stopped playing this today, you would not have a giant learning curve immediately starting the next game.
No, but I think the same could be said for Halo. If they put out a new Halo game in 2 years, I could pick it up and be like, all right, this is Halo. I'm good to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I don't know. Do you ever see yourself coming back to a Call of Duty game?
No, I just I don't.
Star
I don't
Wars see Call the point. Of Duty. there is a rumor that Activision may be getting the Star Wars license, but it's unsubstantiated, so we don't know for sure. But Star Wars Call of Duty, that's Jeremy's worst nightmare.
That would be so amazing.
It'd be so much better than what we have with Battlefront.
Yeah, it's unfortunate with Destiny, because I love Destiny 2. I loved it so much. But I feel like their campaign was way too short. And it was a lot of the same stuff, like the added things that you would get to do. I still like it. I still love it. I just wish there was more to it, considering, you know, it being a Destiny game. And I guess with Battlefront 2, I really enjoy Battlefront 2. I just want it to be the best it can be. The campaign of Battlefront 2 was so good.
It was.
So good.
It absolutely was. Now, we don't necessarily have to change topic, but while we're talking about Star Wars Battlefront 2, we have to acknowledge that today they released the new progression system. The patch 2.0 has been released. It's out in the world.
Which means what? What's this new patch going to do?
So, new progression system. It's instead of doing loot crates and all that stuff for earning your progression, making your character more powerful, now you earn skill points as you play games for specific characters and classes, and that allows you to level up your star cards, therefore making your character more powerful. They've also re-released the Bespin map, remastered a Bespin map from Battlefront 1, 2015. So that's on there now. And they made some tweaks to some heroes, you know, like normal patch kind of stuff. But that's the two big stuff, the two big things that were done with this patch.
So they didn't add a new map. They just took an old map and...
An old map from the last game and remastered it for this one.
Okay. All right.
It's not a new map, though.
It's not a new map. And no new characters yet.
No new characters yet. Not even any news on new characters. But in April, we're also going to be getting the new customization options. So that's something to look forward to.
Okay. All right. I mean,
the progression system, like, I don't give a crap because almost all my guys are fully leveled anyways.
Yes.
And they also announced that you no longer have to use credits to purchase heroes and ships. So I'm not getting a refund for all the credits that I spent buying all those heroes.
Yes, such horseshit.
It is. It's kind of annoying because we all spent so much time and credits unlocking those heroes, and now they're just like, everyone can use them. It's like, I would have used them on other things if I had that many free credits left, because it's so expensive to do that.
Yeah, no, that's terrible. And you just feel like EA is just not giving a shit about Battlefront 2 because somebody else might be purchasing it.
There should have been some kind of like, hey, if you already have all the characters unlocked, or for each character you have unlocked that's extra, we're going to give you, you know, this amount of skill points, or some kind of trade-off for if you've already used your in-game credits, we're going to make it, you know, so you're not just getting boned.
Yeah, that sucks. That's horrible. I mean...
I mean, it's great for everyone that's new. It's great for people that are just getting started. Hopefully it'll pull more people into the game. That's what I'm hoping.
Because that's what we need more than anything else. Because I'm the same way for John. Like, I don't really care about the progression system because all of my dudes that I use on a regular basis are all fully loaded out. So the progression system is pointless to me, for me anyway. So yeah, I just want there to bring more people. I didn't know about the Bespin map. That's actually kind of cool.
Yeah, it's a cool map, definitely.
Well, there it is. I don't know.
But back to our Call of Duty thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Jeremy didn't like Call of Duty, and you Correct. Ultimately ended up refunding it and returning it, right?
Yes, I did.
Ugh, that sucks. We will miss you. You had me so excited that day.
There is good news. There's a silver lining to this. And that is, while Jeremy did return Call of Duty, and that was sad, I did talk him into getting Call of Duty or Sea of Thieves at the Game Pass, at least trying it out. And so both he and I have been playing Sea of Thieves since it came out yesterday. And Jeremy, why don't you tell him what you think of that game?
We have been having a lot of fun.
A lot of fun.
Okay.
Yes.
So
John and I have been conquering the seas.
So I've y'all have told me this. Ebola, our friend Ebola, who's on there, had a great time. He was trying to talk Josh and I, JMR, into getting it as well. We haven't yet. We've heard some reviews and people who have played it for, you know, 10 or 12 hours, and they're calling it No Man's Sea of Thieves, which is – they said, like, yeah, it's fun, but after several hours, you just run out of, you know, stuff to do, and it's just the same thing over and over.
I think the people that say that are the people that are playing single player, because that's going to be boring as hell.
And hard as fuck.
Correct. Yep. So – what also Ebola said is that this is a very team-based game and is very difficult to drive and steer your ship, and you need all the people you can to do it simultaneously to actually enjoy it.
Yes, absolutely. And so here's the thing that I really want to make abundantly clear to everyone listening. If you're considering playing this game, It will not be worth it if you're going to be playing alone. It's not a single player game. Can you play it single player? Yes, but it's probably not fun at all. The magic in this game is in the interaction you're going to have with friends when you're playing it. It's in the random things that happen along the way. Somebody might make a mistake and tell you to go to the wrong island, or you might crash because somebody didn't see a rock, or maybe you're going to encounter another ship and you guys have to work together to try to take down that ship. That, like earlier today, Jeremy and I encountered another pirate ship. And when we were taken on that ship, that was legitimately the most fun thing that I've done in a video game in recent memory.
And John and I not only were taking on a ship, we were taking on a very large ship.
There are two different size ships. There's the sloop, which is one or two people, and there's the galleon, which is for three or four people. And Jeremy and I, in our little sloop, took on a galleon and made him run away. Yep. It was awesome.
They left because we were whooping their asses.
But it's so much fun when you're loading the cannonballs up in there, and you know you've got, because it's really tricky. You really have to have specific duties assigned to each person, and it's just, it's hard to explain because there really isn't that many things like variation in the different tiles of quests and stuff like that. But it is just a huge amount of fun. It just is. It's just super fun.
It's fun while also being hard.
Yep. And also, when you're going to be – when you're on that water, you're going to be immediately thinking, oh, my God, this is the coolest, best-looking video game water I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Really? Because the game is quite cartoony.
Dude, just play it. Play it on your great TV and – just try to look at the ocean, watch the way the waves roll, watch the reflection. You can see the reflection of your ship in the water or yourself in the water. It's really incredible.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
And here's the other thing that I want to remind you of, Brian, and our listeners. There is a way to try this game risk-free. And so this game is on Xbox Game Pass, which is normally $9.99 a month, which really wouldn't be a bad deal if you just paid for that instead of buying the game. You could use the Game Pass for 6 months for the price of buying this one game, and it's on there. But they have a free 2-week trial right now, so it's 14-day trial. You can get on there and download Sea of Thieves and basically play it for free for 2 weeks. And if it's worth it, you can either continue to pay for the Game Pass, or you can cancel your Game Pass and buy the game by itself. That way there's no risk involved in trying it. And there's a lot of other games on there too. So it seems like a really cool service. And I'm really hoping that this is a model that Xbox continues to use. A great way for them to release originals, because it makes it like, I haven't given a crap about the Xbox Game Pass, but now that they did this, I was like, cool, I'm going to sign up for that. That sounds awesome.
Hmm.
So if they continue to release originals, it's a great, great method to do that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I haven't gotten it yet. I'm still debating on whether or not to do it.
It's free. What's to debate? It's free. Sign up for the 2-week trial. Cancel it as soon as you sign up. That way it won't auto-renew unless you want it to. Sign up, cancel. You can use the remainder of the 2 weeks and just download the game. And if you don't like it, don't continue to play it. Hmm. There's no risk.
He's correct.
All right.
You might, I mean, there. Even if there's a 10% chance that you're going to load it up and be like, this is so awesome, worth it. And I can almost promise you, Brian, that you will have a great time playing this. I know you, and I think you will have a lot of fun. I just realized all you guys can see is my aggressive finger pointing at the screen.
That's all we see the majority of the way through the podcast is when you start getting all excited and hand wavy.
Very true.
I come from Italian people. We gesticulate a lot.
So I guess y'all will be playing Sea of Thieves for at least the next 2 weeks to see if you really like it.
Dude, I don't even want to be doing this podcast right now. I would much rather be playing Sea of Thieves.
We were playing it earlier today, and we stopped because he's like, I got to have lunch before we do this podcast.
Yep. And as soon as we turn this off, I'm getting back on, man. I'm ready.
So it's it's that addicting.
Yeah.
It is. It is a really fun party style game.
Okay.
And yeah. If you get on there, we can have a big ship.
We can. We can have a 3-person galleon and it'll be great.
Well, we've been running around with the little shit dick tiny ship.
is is Eshmang or Ebola on there on your ship at all?
Well, so everyone's going to be getting it. Everyone in our normal group is going to be getting in the game if they do not have it already.
Okay.
All you will be the only one that's not playing it.
So peer pressure right here is to get it.
Or just if you like having fun.
Oh, no. I don't like having fun.
So far, I love it. And, you know, just as a reminder, Rare is a great developer. They've got a great track record. They've put out so many awesome games over the years. And this does not seem to be any exception from that rule. But there are launch issues. That's one thing Jeremy and I were discussing earlier today. Is it's been so long. I can't remember the last time I played a great game that was flaw or like, you know, work functional pretty much after launch. This game has – we had trouble getting in yesterday, a lot of trouble. But it seems to be resolved. Today we didn't have any trouble with that. But there are still little weird things popping up that you know, probably shouldn't be there.
Like what?
Like spawning without a ship, which makes it impossible to do anything. You have to leave and come back in. Or you're not getting the proper amount of credits for missions that you complete, things like that. But nothing that unless you can – I don't know. It seems like the game-breaking stuff has been resolved. But I've only played it for a little bit today, so I can't be sure.
Okay.
But I'm sure that within a few days, all of that will be taken care of.
Okay.
It's like a 9-gig download, so if you just turn on your Xbox and do that right now – you can play with us at the end of the show.
We'll see. We'll see. I'm debating on it. I was so burned by No Man's Sky.
Dude, it's not the same. No Man's Sky is a single-player game.
He's getting excited, folks. He's getting excited.
I don't understand. You don't have to spend any money. It's free. I don't understand why you're acting like this is such a hard decision. Just download the game.
He's punishing me for returning Call of Duty. That's what he's doing.
He's butthurt. That's what it is.
He's sensitive. I see it now.
No. I've been looking forward to this Sea of Thieves, and I just I don't know.
We just told you. You don't even have to pay to play it.
It's free.
I have to sign up for shit though, right?
It's really easy. You go into the Xbox app. You go to where it says Xbox Game Pass. You select try 14-day trial, and boom, you're done. And then you install the game. You're ready to go. It's that easy. It really is.
Folks, I just wish you could see Jonathan right now. He's just real. His blood's pumping. He's super.
I just want to play a game with my friends, goddammit.
Oh, man.
Call of Duty didn't work out. This can. So it's, don't fuck it, Brian. Don't ruin this for me.
Don't ruin this for me. I just want to play video games with my friends. That's all I want to do. Oh, man. It's just very difficult decision for me. I'm going to go into it, and it's going to be No Man's Sky. I just know it. Like, what's different about it? Like, I don't get it.
It's not single player. That is what's different. And it's not the same game, and it's totally fucking different. Although it might be boring for you, because now when you join, we're just going to lock you in the brig.
Why would you do that?
And we're going to immediately just put you in the brig the whole time.
Because I'm asking questions?
Because you were a pain in the ass. That's why.
Well, I guess I'll try to give it a try.
Yeah. It's a fast download. Try it for at least, you know, I mean, you can at least give it as much chance as Jeremy gave Call of Duty.
Yeah.
You can give it like 30 minutes or a game or two, and then you can quit. That's fine.
We'll see. We'll see. I'm going to have to see some reviews and stuff like that. But
that was a great convulsion you got just then.
It is a good It is a good convulsion that he got. John just can't understand why I don't want to do this because it's free. I just feel like it's going to be bad. And, like, I don't know.
But then you'd cancel your pass. And you're not out any money.
But isn't that like a difficult thing to do? Isn't that like a bunch of hullabaloo?
It's like clicking the A button three times on your controller.
Is it that?
Dude, you're killing me.
Oh, it's so good. By the way, John, I just wanted to let you know that I'm just giving you a hard time. I plan on downloading it.
It's
just great
downloaded.
To watch you go crazy.
I hate
the
show.
He's been playing it the entire time we've been on the show.
Oh, it's so funny. It's so great. He's like, no, damn it. This is real. This is serious.
This, you're going to be the death of me. This is what's causing my blood pressure to be too high.
Oh, that's fun. So, yeah, Sea of Thieves, it's free for now, if not $60. Seems like a fun game. I will let you know for sure on Mediocrity Podcast. Any other last bit of news before we get into our two big topics? Anyone?
No. Feel like there was something
first
that I thought
yes,
of the other
was,
day.
There was. New Avengers trailer. Our theories for that. What's going to happen in the Avengers movie based on the last trailer? Because it looks like Iron Man's...
Thanos is going to try to take the stones, and the Avengers are going to have to try to stop him. And I think that one of the Avengers might die.
I think you just said what's happened, like what we've known since 2007.
That is my prediction.
Well, we know John's
you mark
prediction.
Mark my words, it's going to be correct.
Jeremy, what do you think?
Yes. A lot of people are predicting that either Cap or Iron Man are going to die, and I don't think that's going to be the case. I feel like if either of those guys die, you don't kill them in the first part of your giant movie. You kill either of those dudes in the second part, which is the finale of the movie. And I definitely don't think they're going to kill, you know, of your, like, Cap, Iron Man, Thor, of those dudes. I don't think they're going to kill any of the main – of those main dudes.
Hmm.
I feel like if somebody's going to die, it's going to be someone like Hawkeye or some shit like that. It's going to be somebody who doesn't have a movie that makes $1 billion.
Well, in the trailer, it definitely looks like it's a no-go for Captain America and a no-go for Iron Man. But that could all change. You know, that's just
– I feel like if you're going to kill Cap in a movie, they're going to do it when he's back in the Captain America suit and rocking the shield and defending people as Captain America.
Okay.
So I don't feel like he's going to die there.
So do you agree with John it's just going to be one superhero dying?
Or they might kill a couple. I really feel like they're probably only just going to kill one, and it's going to be somebody like a Hawkeye or someone like that.
Okay.
But I do have another prediction that can be somewhat spoilery if you guys want to hear it.
Yeah, sure.
You see Hulkbuster armor in this preview, and I think that inside that armor is Bruce Banner. And so when you see the Hulkbuster armor get overrun by whatever that is, I'm going to assume it's like Chitauri or something. I think that the Hulk is going to punch his way out of that armor. And start whooping everyone's ass. Because if you see the shot of Banner in the preview, in the trailer, he's standing next to, I think it's War Machine and Natasha. And I think it's like either the arm, I forget, it's like the arm or the leg of the Hulkbuster armor is nearby.
Interesting. That'd be really cool.
I think the Hulk's actually inside the Hulkbuster armor.
A way for them to kind of allow him to be the Hulk, but controlled.
Yeah.
Without flipping out.
Well, I think it's Banner in the armor, and then
right.
once they overrun it, then the Hulk just tears right out of it and starts fucking everything up.
I like it. That would be so cool.
Because it fits with trying to, like, because Banner's whole thing in Thor was he's like, you know, if I turn into the Hulk again, I don't know when I'll ever be able to come back.
Right.
So it might be him trying to remain Banner for longer. So I think that's going to happen.
I think Thanos is actually Mace Windu.
Mm.
Because he's purple.
I like that.
You just took the words right out of my mouth. You know, it's the whole Star Wars Marvel universe. It can happen.
It's totally, and he's got the lines on his face. Those are obviously lightsaber wounds.
Yeah.
Lightning wrinkles.
Force lightning, yeah, for sure. How can it not be?
Okay, yeah, I agree. How could it not be?
Or it could be Lando. It could be Lando in a Thanos suit.
It's Lando in disguise wearing a Thanos suit. That's definitely what it is.
And really, he just wants the Infinity Gems because, you know, he likes nice stuff.
He wants to be able to gamble with them.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Maybe do some
Sabacc tournaments.
It's a good theory. Very good theory.
Ironclad.
Speaking.
No holes in that shit whatsoever.
No, it's not. All right. There's that trailer. It's coming out very soon. We can't wait.
Hey, have you seen Ready Player One yet?
I see it next week.
Cool.
I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully it's not as... I like the book. The book can get a little tedious with all like the crazy references. But
I thought the book was great, man. I loved it.
I mean, I like the book. I think it's a cool story. It's just like every paragraph is like, yes, you remember this? Remember this? Remember this? Oh, yes, yes. I'm like, oh, yes, yes, yes. We got it.
It's tedious because it's a book and you don't like to read.
I love to read. What are you talking about?
So I also watched The Shape of Water the other night.
Oh, yeah. It's so good.
Absolutely loved it. It's so weird, but wonderful. And the score was great. I loved the vibe, the way the whole movie looked. I love the acting of the lead actress. I don't know the actress's name. But the lead actress in that film did such a great job. And Doug Jones is always awesome under his prosthetics. And it was just fantastic. I thought it was a heck of a good movie.
Yeah, I agree. It's so good. The direction, the storyline, it's amazing. And the scene where the room fills up with water. It's just so cool.
I just can't believe that the same person that made this movie made Pacific Rim. I just can't believe it's the same person. I'm pretty sure that it was actually Michael Bay that made Pacific Rim. Just no, a hunch I have.
No way, Pacific Rim.
He was wearing a Guillermo del Toro disguise?
Exactly.
Pacific Rim is – so Guillermo del Toro is an excellent director. And like he got this opportunity, like, I get to make movies about monsters and robots the size of skyscrapers, just battle? Hell yeah. And it's going to be like my 15-year-old self is like, yes, and I'm going to do it like what I want my 15-year-old self to see. It doesn't have to be like – I get it. There's bad parts to Pacific Rim.
Most of the movie. And also let's agree that it's been a huge mistake for Guillermo del Toro to work with Charlie Hunnam because – Crimson Peak was so bad. I wanted to love Crimson Peak. I really did. I walked into that so ready to be a fan of that movie. And it was not. It was so disappointing.
I like
same thing for Pacific Rim. I really wanted to like that one, too. I was like, yes, give it to me. Because I consider myself a fan of Guillermo del Toro. But the last two movies that he did, I just found to be really disappointing.
I like Shape of Water. I like them all.
Shape of Water is a fantastic return to form. I was like, yes, finally, he's made a great movie that feels good again. Because that's the important thing. Is this one, it actually looks good. There's no cheesy, stupid CGI like Crimson Peak and...
Crimson Rim. Pacific Peak. And
Pacific Rim, all those movies. He's so good when he does practical effects, and it looks so fantastic. But I feel like he does not have a good grip on CGI because it looks generally pretty horrible when he does that.
I like both aspects of it. I had a writer go see the new Pacific Rim Uprising movie. Most people, as well as him, said, like, yeah, it's – like stale old popcorn. It's pretty slow. until the final like 20 minutes where it's just like batshit bonkers crazy. And then, but they did say that John Boyega was just an awesome action movie star. Other than that, it's not great. It's not that good.
But he didn't do Pacific Rim 2, did he?
Correct. No, he didn't. But it's like based off like what he did. But
the dude that did Pacific Rim was the guy that started the Spartacus TV show and did season one of Daredevil.
Yeah. True. So it's, you know, with that coming out, the new Pacific Rim coming out this weekend, you know, I think people will see it. It won't be as big of a thing as the first one. And then you still have Black Panther, you know, doing well. Pacific Rim will probably be number one, but Black Panther will still be number two or three still, box office wise, because people are still loving that, and deservedly so. It's a good of a movie. We just have to wait till Avengers and Star Wars Solo to, you know, take the reins.
Disrupt
again.
Things.
Yes.
Oh, I want that Han Solo movie to be good so badly.
Me too. I'm so afraid.
I imagine. And I've been hearing really good things about Deadpool 2 as well. Supposedly the test screenings for Deadpool 2 are even better than the first movie. So you got that to look forward to.
I want the Han Solo movie to be so good that we just get like another movie that's The Adventures of Han and Lando.
Oh, Adventures of Han and Lando. I'm in. Okay, let's get on to our two big topics now. We're going to start with Atterbury. Atterbury, what's your topic?
I wanted to discuss, you know, because we're emotional guys. We're in touch with our feelings. We're sensitive men. And I figured it'd be nice to talk about the movies that make us have the feels, you know?
Yeah.
That get us all choked up and teary-eyed.
Okay.
So, Brian, why don't you start and tell us the movies that pluck at your delicate heartstrings?
All right. So, yes, I am definitely...
I already know one that's going to be on your list.
Okay, good.
Can I take a guess?
Yes.
I just want to take a prediction, and I want to say that I bet that WALL-E is on your list.
Correctamundo. That is on my list. Movies that I get choked up for and sad at, I mean, it's no secret. I definitely cry at movies all the time. I don't know. I'm just passionate about it. It just makes me feel things that, you know, it's weird because, like, in everyday life, I don't really get too upset or cry or anything. But in movies, it's like, it's just waterworks, really. Shit.
It
I even cried
up,
at wrestling.
You got to let it out more regularly.
I teared up at wrestling last night on WWE SmackDown Live. I did. Like, I legit did. I was there last night at American Airlines Center for WWE SmackDown, and I definitely choked up. This was some sad shit.
What made you choked up? You got to tell me. I got to know.
So, we need to know this.
So there's a guy in wrestling who's been around for a long time. His name is Daniel Bryan. And he was kind of like the underdog and everything. And he just got really organically over with the crowd as far as he's like this, the best guy ever. And he was just an awesome wrestler. A couple years ago, he was forced to retire because of all of the brain injuries he's had and headshots that he's had due to wrestling, that he was forced to retire due to like CTE and concussions. And he wanted nothing more than to wrestle again. So WWE, you know, like, okay, you can be commissioner, you know. So for the last 2 years, he's really just been on-screen talent as far as just, you know, as a manager of one of the shows. But he hasn't wrestled, and it's all he's ever wanted to do. And yesterday, right before SmackDown, he was absolutely cleared by the doctors to actually get in the ring again. And so he got to come out and do a whole speech and like how his wife, who's another wrestler, helped him through it, and his family and friends, and like how he never gave up. And he got choked up in the ring, and like everybody was super happy. And it was just like really heartfelt, and like, oh man, it was just, it was very, not only a few dry eyes in the house, but most of us were just like so excited that he's finally back in the ring and he gets to do what he loves to do. So it was very cool.
Were you weeping into your booty-os?
I was weeping in my booty-os, WWE. But yes, so I cried a lot, but I have a list of movies. I'm just going to list them out here. Steel Magnolias, specifically the scene after the funeral where her mother is doing the whole thing, like saying like why her child died. My girl, Macaulay Culkin, when he dies and his friend Anna Chlumsky comes to the casket, it's like, why? He doesn't have his glasses. Terminator 2, you know, the whole thumbs up thing going into the fire. Fantastic. Recent one, Me, Earl, and the Dying Girl. Holy God, if you haven't seen that movie, it's one of the best high school movies ever and super sad. Beasts of the Southern Wild, if you have never seen that movie, oh God, it's amazing. Up. The Pixar movie Up. Holy shit, just all the way through that movie cried. WALL-E, of course. Love Story. Toy Story 3, of course, when they all accept their fate into the fire, as well as the end when Andy finally plays with his toys again. E.T., the whole last 20 minutes, basically. Holy shit. The new Pixar film Coco, Remember Me song at the end. Wow. My Life with Michael Keaton and Nicole Kidman. He's a slowly dying man of cancer, and his dad shaves him at some point in the movie, and it's so sad. Schindler's List. Surprisingly, not through the whole movie, but the very last epilogue of all the real Schindler Jews present day putting the rocks on his grave was, whoo, waterworks. Forrest Gump, when he's talking to Jenny at the grave. Big Fish. At the end of the film, when he realizes his dad really wasn't lying about all the tall tales. The Pursuit of Happiness with Will Smith when he gets the job. I've watched that scene like a million times, and it still affects me the same every time. And the recent movie A Monster Calls, about a boy who sees a tree monster and his mom dying of cancer. Those are my movies that really, really choke me up.
That was a nice short list. I really appreciated it.
I was just going to sit there and see how long he was going to go.
Well, Brian just named every sad movie ever, so the end.
You didn't give a number, movies. Man. You just like some sad movies. I'm like, these. I fucking cry at these
he
movies.
He just Googled sad movies, and he's like, yep. I'm just going to read all these.
I'm just going to read all 45 of these.
No, these are like – there's 16 of them there, and – these are the movies that legit, like, when I want to have an emotional day or something like that, I was like, I need a good cry. I will put on these movies or watch some of these scenes. And
so, Brian, have you ever thought to yourself the words, I need a good cry?
Yeah, that's what I just said, right?
Well, yeah, but you've actually thought that, like, said that to yourself? Like, you know what? I just need a good cry today.
Yeah, there's some times where it's like, I want an emotional movie to make
just
me
feel emotionally constipated. You got to just get it out.
Yes.
All right. I've never experienced that feeling before. I've experienced crying and being sad, but I never actually thought, like, I just need a good cry today.
No,
like, I need to cry.
There's certain times where, like, oh, I really want a funny movie. I want a comedy. And there's sometimes, like, I really want a sad movie to watch, you know, like a depressing movie. And I get to get out all my emotions, you know, and, like, just all comes out and you feel better.
You know what? I just want to be bummed out right now. That's what I want.
I just want to feel like crap.
My day has been going so well, but you know what's missing? A feeling of depression. That's what's missing from this day.
Some of those were happy cries in those movies. Pursuit of Happiness is a happy cry.
Well, so all right. That's a good list.
So is Toy Story 3. Okay, good.
I like your list. I just have to make fun of you because it's so easy.
Okay.
And because it's so much fun.
I like it.
Jeremy, why don't you tell us your movies?
Well, you know, I don't tend to get emotional at the movies to quite the degree that Brian Kluger does. I honestly really only have one movie that I can ever think of that truly made me emotional, and that was The Last Jedi.
I was there for it. I remember.
And, you know, I ended up seeing that movie 3 or 4 times in theaters, and every single time it had the same response. And I was like, I was curious each time. I'm like, I wonder if each time in that scene when Yoda pops up, am I going to have that same reaction? And I had it every time.
Did you see the behind the scenes with Mark Hamill and Yoda during the making of that?
I did not.
So if you look that up,
I haven't bought the movie yet.
So there's a little clip of on set where Mark Hamill comes on set and he for the first time in so long sees the actual Yoda puppet with Frank Oz voice in it, and Mark Hamill's talking about it and he absolutely gets choked up. In that, like, on set. It's pretty cool to watch.
I'm looking forward to it.
Well,
that is a great – that film did the same thing for me. That same moment. I think all of us had a similar reaction to that. Or it's just something about that moment where it's like, oh, right in the feels, man.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good. I have to add one of them. One more. 17. The movie Wonder with Jacob Tremblay and Julia Roberts that came out last year. Fantastic happy tears movie. Happy cry movie. Very sad, but yes, choked up for sure.
All right. So you have 17 and Jeremy has one.
Yes.
Yeah.
I could go on. Shit.
All right, I'm going to read my list now before Brian continues to name all the movies that are on my list. All right, so this one I actually just watched like a week ago for the 20th time, and it makes me cry every fucking time, and that's Benjamin Button.
I cannot watch
that movie without getting choked up like three separate times. I don't know what it is about that film.
It didn't happen for me. I've watched that many times, and on Blu-ray and in the theater, not once did I get choked up. I thought I would.
Every time. It's right at the end where he's talking about how, you know, like some people are mothers, some people are artists, some people are, you know, things like that. That scene just it makes me choked up now. I can't even talk about it. All right. Next one up, What Dreams May Come. That movie is so sad. And that's not even like happy tears for the most part. It's just like painful, like, ugh. Life is so terrible. Speaking of life is so terrible, It's a Wonderful Life also makes me cry every time I watch it. The end, when everyone's giving him money and filling up his stuff and everyone's coming together to save George Bailey. How can you, if you don't cry in that scene, you've got a cold, dead, shriveled soul.
Oh, and penis.
Yep. E.T. is definitely on my list because, like you said, the ending of that movie, that's just so very touching. And Inside Out, man, the scene where Bing Bong dies to this day might be the saddest thing that I've ever seen in a movie.
Bing Bong really did it for you.
Dude, Bing Bong hit me so hard. I just was like, that movie destroyed me. I felt emotional for like 24 hours after watching that film.
Wow.
And last but not least, this is a movie that's not appreciated for being as beautiful a film as it is. And I'm going to say A Walk to Remember.
The Mandy fucking Moore movie?
Yes.
Christ.
It's a good movie, and it gets me choked up when I watch it.
You giant pussy.
It's a good movie.
Good and terrible. Oh,
no, it's
funny.
Just good. It's touching.
You gonna make fun of me, bitch, and you're gonna fucking cry at a Mandy Moore movie? Walk to Remember, you kidding me? Shit.
I like what I like. What can I say? It's a good movie, and maybe the girl is dying. It's sad.
I'm so glad that John went last.
Oh, man.
It's a beautiful film, you assholes.
Don't go see that fucking movie. Don't. You will laugh at that movie, not cry.
It is not funny. Mandy Moore was dying in that movie.
I think John's trying to tell us something about Mandy Moore. He just can't help himself.
It's a good movie.
Fuck, this says so much about you now.
Look, one day, I didn't even mean to watch that movie. The first time I watched that
Bullshit.
Movie, I didn't mean to. The first time, I didn't mean to. The times after that, I did mean to. But the first time, it was just on TV, and I was like, whatever, I'll watch it. I think I was hungover or something that day and just not feeling great. Maybe I was sick. But I was watching that movie, and I was just like, wow, this is way better than I was expecting it to be. I was pleasantly surprised.
Oh, I don't even know what to say to you.
Yep. You're welcome.
Man, I feel like you should change your name from, like, Shankmeister to The Walk to Remember or some shit like that. I don't know.
That was a bad joke.
It was, but I'm just – I can't believe it.
We will still play video games with you later, despite that joke.
Yeah, yep. Well, thank you. I'll walk to remember. All right. Well, let us know the movies that made you sad. All right. On to our next topic. Star Wars topic. I came across this question online, and I thought it was really cool and just kind of make you think type of thing. But I figured with this group, we've ever talked about this before, and it'd be cool to talk about. But if there were ever a final Star Wars movie, like ever, and there would be none after this, like if there was just like the definitive last Star Wars movie, we're not making any again, what would you want to see as that final scene in that Star Wars movie? What do you think would be what do you want the final Star Wars scene to be if they were going to make no more Star Wars movies after that? So Jeremy, I've got to go to you first.
Well, it's hard to imagine, a way to wrap it up, because the whole idea of the Force is it's like, you know, how do you wrap up and say this is the last one when the Force, you know, and things like the light side and the dark side are always going to be present. It's part of it is that it's tough for me to imagine an ending better, you know, for the Star Wars universe, really, honestly, than Return of the Jedi. And that's the thing that, like, the second when you mentioned, I've actually been thinking about it almost nonstop, is I struggle with kind of coming up with something on my own, really, that's better, that's kind of better than that.
So kind of like having, like, you know, all the friends together and celebrating and, like, we got it sort of thing?
Yeah. You know, like the ultimate triumph over evil. To me, it's tough to see that executed better than something Return of the Jedi. There was a comic called Star Wars Legacy that I always wanted John to read because it was really good, and it was about it took place like 165 years into the future after Return of the Jedi, and it was like Luke Skywalker's like great-great-grandson or whatever. John wouldn't read it because, you know, he's like, I can't imagine Han Solo being dead, so maybe I get him to read it now. but, you know, and that was a really good story because it was a reluctant story of a Skywalker heir who, you know, Luke's Force ghost would come to him regularly, but he was not interested in being a Jedi. It was a galaxy basically ruled by Sith. And, you know, him overcoming all of those, you know, with a little bit of instruction from Force Ghost Luke. And, you know, and that was a pretty great story. But, man, for me, I can't see anything topping Return of the Jedi.
Okay, so something similar to that with a bunch of friends. All right, I get it. That's good. I like it. Mr. Atterbury, what about you?
So
can I give a guess?
Yeah.
Does it have to do with Han Solo, Force Ghost?
No.
Okay.
He's not a Jedi. He's not even that Force sensitive. He can't do Force ghost stuff.
Ooh, wait, John just said he's not even that Force sensitive. Does that imply there is some Force sensitivity?
I believe so, since we've discussed that there is no such thing as luck in the Star Wars universe, and Han Solo happens to be one of the luckiest people in that world, in that universe. I think that he's at least a little Force sensitive.
I agree.
So that's just going off on a nerd tangent there, but... So it's really hard to, like Jeremy said, top Return of the Jedi. That was such a nice way to end that trilogy. But if we were going to be like, let's say, for example, this next Star Wars Episode 9 was going to be the last Star Wars movie. What I would like to see, I think a cool way to end it would be to return to the Musashi temples in on Yavin 4, like we had at the end of Star Wars A New Hope. And have a similar scene to the way A New Hope ended as a way to kind of bookend it. You know, this is the way A New Hope, the first Star Wars movie ended, and here's the way the last Star Wars movie ended. And we could have, you know, whatever, them celebrating a victory of some sort, giving out, you know, but I'd also like it to be the Jedi Temple, the new location, like it was in the books for the Jedi Temple. And we could have the people from the Resistance, Rey there. And, you know, standing next to Rey, you could see all of the Jedi that came before her in that line. We could see Obi-Wan and Luke and Yoda and all that, and Anakin and all of those things. I would love to see all of that just in that scene, but specifically having the Musashi Temple showing that, hey, yes, it's going to be okay. The Jedi are going to be rebuilt here, and it's going to be good.
Very cool.
I like it.
I like it. I like it. I like it. Very cool. I'm into it.
Thank you.
All right. You want to hear mine?
Not really.
Okay. Are you mad about the whole Walk to Remember thing? Are you?
It's a good movie.
No, right.
Son of a bitch.
Right now, he's just playing through all the things you've ever said about Star Wars on the show, so he's mildly concerned while being morbidly curious.
The last scene, Luke takes off his face and reveals that he's Lando in disguise.
He was truly a black man.
The end.
All right. Well, you sure you don't want me? You want me to do it?
No, I want to hear it. I do.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's say it's way into the future. There's been several generations of Skywalkers. However, the two people who've always been in all the movies, without fail, for the most part, are C-3PO and R2-D2. They're still there. They're still doing their things after everything. And I would just imagine, like, the final scene there, these two droids who have seen everything and witnessed all of this are just recounting or downloading their information to something, somebody, for further historical purposes. And they head somewhere. You know, there might be like a shrine or like statues of like Luke and Leia and Han Solo and, you know, all of our favorite characters. And they're just kind of there, just, you know, looking at them for the last time sort of thing. And then, of course, it's the famous scene of C-3PO and R2 looking at these statues with their friends again as, like, the two suns or three suns set, like we saw in the original film, with, like, the same, like, music. And then cut to black.
That sounds really sad.
But, like, I think that's, like, kind of like a wrap-up type of thing, you know?
No, I think that's a cool idea. I wasn't saying it's not a good idea. I was saying it makes me feel weepy just talking about it.
I mean, because I think, because didn't Star Wars kind of start out with C-3PO and R2 in a way?
Yeah, pretty much.
And they've been through literally everything, and they're just
It makes sense.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you know, if you want to make it even sadder, you could have it that they're downloading their program into some historical data bank because they're running out of life and they need to be actually dismantled.
There you go.
We just want to go full sad bastard.
Oh, how awful would that be? I just got chills. Oh.
I think 3PO was the first character designed for Star Wars by Ralph McQuarrie.
So I think that would just kind of be cool to, like, have all of those favorite characters looking out into the sun like Luke did in the first film. This kind of a cool way to go out.
I love it. That's a cool idea, man.
Oh. So if they actually put something like that in any of the movies, how sad will that be? Oh, I can't imagine R2.
It's too sad. It's too sad to think about. I mean, as much as, you know, you love Han Solo, and as much as I love Han Solo, you just can't even imagine them killing off R2.
Oh.
It's just like the saddest thing you can. It's like the dog of the series. You know what I mean?
It's the dog of the series. Oh, it's so sad. But I liked all of it. But I also like, you know, cause they kind of did this in The Last Jedi where they, like, kind of showed all the good guys kind of on the ship and kind of smiling like they kind of, like, beat the resistance, not the resistance, the,
Well, they didn't show it like they beat them because they actually got their ass kicked.
Correct, but they were all in there, and it was kind of like a Return of the Jedi type of scenario where they're all, like, standing around, you know, with the camera.
I'd say it's more Empire Strikes Back with the ending, where it's like things look pretty bad, but there is, you know, a sliver of hope still. We're still going to work at it.
They're together.
Yes, and I like that aspect. And, oh, You know what? Because I love the Yub Nub song by the Ewoks. I just love that song, but there's no way you could introduce that.
They're all like, Luke just died, but hey, we won. High fives all around.
The end.
The end.
Later.
But yeah, I think that wraps up our show. We love Star Wars. We're going to do Sea of Thieves.
That's what I'm going to go do.
And I have to, maybe the next podcast or so, I really have to get back into Spider-Man 3. I really have to revisit that.
What? What are you talking about?
I want to revisit Spider-Man 3 with Tobey.
The movie,
Spider-Man 3 with Tobey Maguire. I want to revisit that to see if it's actually.
You want to talk about it on the show, or you want to watch the movie again yourself?
No, I want to watch it and talk about it on the show because I want to see if it's like still as terrible as we remember it.
Why do you want to watch that? Of all the movies in existence that you could watch again, why is that at the top of your list right now?
Because I feel like it gets such a bad rap, and I want to see if it's still true or if there's still like some. Some good.
Let me just say this one sentence. Tobey Maguire was Venom.
You have that backwards, man.
Yeah, Topher Grace was Venom.
That's right.
He needs to watch it again.
I'm sorry. Topher Grace was Venom. That's the guy's name. Tobey Maguire was a fine Spider-Man, except for the emo one in the third. But Topher Grace, the guy Eric from the 70s show.
Yes.
He was Venom.
Yeah, and then they also, at the same time, were like, you know what? We really need to have this guy fight some predators because he's so awesome.
Also equally as ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm going to check it out again. I got to check it out again.
You know who would be great to fight predators? The guy from that 70s show and Adrian Brody. The ultimate action hero.
Adrian Brody. 7 foot... 100-pound guy fights the Predators. It's great.
Nobody was like, I want to watch Jason Statham fight the Predator.
Yeah. Nope. It should have been the Expendables cast fighting the Predator.
That'd
be awesome.
That should be the next Expendables movie, actually. That'd be great. Expendables versus the Predator. That's a movie I'd watch.
Well, I would watch
that. I'm with you there.
I'd watch
Let's do that. That sounds like a lot of fun.
So we'll be back next week with hopefully Expendables and Predators and Spider-Man 3 and Topher Grace.
Let me just end it with this one sentence. If you come over,
man, I'll watch Spider-Man 3 with you.
Okay.
I just want to remind our listeners of just leave them with one thing.
Okay.
Tobey Maguire was Venom.
Topher Grace and Tobey Maguire, same person. So good. All right. We are Mediocrity. Find us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. We love you, and we'll be back next week. Thank you to Jonathan and Jeremy. They are amazing.